Okay, before we talk about the consequences of why you were in Strasbourg, give us a little bit about, I know you didn't have much time to see any of it, were you impressed by the city itself?
Yeah, it's a really nice city, what I got to see of it. A great transport system, a tram system, and what I did about the evenings is I just, one, you buy a multi-travel ticket, and I just jumped on the tram and went from tram to tram and just travelled all around. And
he actually linked up to each side of the city.
There is, but there's parts of the city where six or seven trams intersect.
Right.
And, you know, you jump off one and onto the other. And, yeah, some beautiful architecture, lovely mixture of old and modern. There's a lovely kind of old part to the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you would have been used to seeing in the old films I've seen of old Germany, yeah, and old France, you know.
Yeah.
Beautiful cathedral, a couple of some lovely churches and stuff like that. Really nice city. Absolutely well worth a visit, you know,
Was the taste or tempting for you to go on a holiday, maybe? Would you spend a week there and enjoy it?
Yeah, I think you could easily spend a week there because there's so much to see, and then you can get out. I mean, I went into Strasbourg on the train, and you go in through the Ardennes, is that the name of the mountain range? And, you know, the Battle of the Bulge and all took place there. So an awful lot of history in and around there because it's right on the German border as well. So, I mean, if World War II history is your thing, I'm sure there's lots of stuff to do in or around the area as well.
Okay, well, I mean, the reason I asked you about you mentioned the tram system there. I mean, you didn't have to walk from Amy Street up to Stephen's Green.
No.
I think that's not the only complaint a lot of people. I mean, I know Madrid and I know London a bit, and I know that the system there in New York as well, it's fantastic everywhere, but just here. Let's not depress ourselves. Okay, and you were actually there to work, and now, the Greek debt crisis, even though that's not what it was all about, it took up most of the meaning.
I suppose my timing was kind of lucky because we had come out of the Greek referendum the Sunday before. And last Wednesday, the Greek Prime Minister, Tsipras, was in the European Parliament, and there was a debate on Greece and the current crisis, and it was, I have to say, it was standing room only in the chamber. The place was stuffed to the rafters, and it was a real privilege to be there. Tsipras came in and he got a very warm reception, of course, a lot of applause, and then a few boos started to ring out, but the applause far outstripped the boos, and then the debate took place, very heated debate. I mean, you know, they all made their case. Tsipras had his little speech, and then one or two fellas really got dug into him, you know. I think one person told him quite blatantly that he was destroying Europe and he was going to split Europe apart and his arrogance and this, that and the other. So it wasn't all we all love Greece. There was a lot of conflicting views.
Yeah,
and
a lot of dissension there, yeah.
Yeah, it really was, excuse me, really, really interesting to be there and just to see the debate. And it went on for 2, 3, 4 hours, and as I say, lots of opinions, lots of people giving different views either side. If anyone goes onto the European Parliament website, they can go down and watch the whole thing. The video of it's on there, but it was just the excitement and the buzz in the place was unbelievable. It really was.
And you'd be podcasting some interviews you did over there as well. Anyway, so
yeah, well, I got to interview Lynn Boylan and Brian Hayes, and we played those interviews out yesterday, and
I heard the Brian Hayes interview. I didn't hear the Linda's, but as we usual with these guys, they hedge and fudge a little bit without really giving you you know, they fudge so much it drives you up the wall. Now when you asked him about TTIP, what was his reaction to that?
His reaction seemed to be you know, like, we do hundreds of trade agreements all the time, and this is just another one. And in the long run, if Ireland wants to be prosperous and create jobs and everything else and blah, 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 this is a good thing. Probably, I suppose, Marboy probably looked in design as it happened. A little bit about, I had spoken to Brian Hayes in the morning, and then I was meeting Lynn Boylan in the afternoon. And I decided to kind of talk to Lynn Boylan about the same things I talked to Brian Hayes about, and as it turned out, we got two hugely different opinions on more or less everything. you know, Brian Hayes' deal on TTIP was, it's a good thing in the long run for Ireland and for growth and everything else. Liam Boylan was obviously completely different. But TTIP was another thing that was debated in the Parliament last week. And I didn't understand. I had to ask, were they debating the whole package? But no, they were just debating this round of negotiations. And at the end of the session, they get to vote on whether they're going to pass or whatever they've done. But one thing I was very happy to see is the biggest concern by far was this investor state dispute resolution thing. And they thankfully voted that they want to go back and look at that. The current proposal isn't acceptable. So the European Parliament voted very much in favour of...
Is that where they can sue the country?
Yeah. I was delighted to see that, you know, hugely people were against that. And actually, when they were voting on TTIP, it was actually quite colourful. And again, if people get to see the video, there was lots of people, and you don't think you'd see it, but there was lots of people in the chamber, you know, the MEPs and the one, and they're waving their banners no to TTIP and waving their flags. And like when the Greek Prime Minister was there, there was people up waving their flags. And really entertaining. It was great. I actually came home and I said it to my wife. I said, they should bring skill kids. Like, there was lots of skill tours there, but they should bring kids from all over Europe to it. Just theatre, absolute theatre, it really was. But yeah, the TTIP was negotiated. They passed everything they wanted to pass, or they got to where they wanted to be. But I think it was Brian Hayes says to me, you know, this TTIP thing is probably going to run for another 2 or 3 years before we ever get to a point where it's going to be something that will be a document that will be voted on. But it's certainly high on the agenda over there.
Yeah, I suppose a lot of the negative side of it as well, as regards standards and all like that, will come into where they vary in each country. Ours are very high, I must say, in Ireland.
I mean, I asked both Brian Hayes and Liam Boylan about things like GM foods, fracking, and all of these things that we know are going to be affected by TTIP. And I think it was very hard for either of them to say, well, yay or nay to it, because there's still an awful lot of detail has to be ironed out in this TTIP. Yeah. It's just round after round of talking. And as Brian Hayes said to me, it could be another 3 years before we ever get to a point where we have a final document that people will be voting on. So, really interesting. Some of the other things that were just discussed while I was there, the current immigration crisis we see in the Mediterranean. That was high on the agenda over there. You know, lots of countries and our own government seem to be in favour of a quota system whereby each nation will take a quota of these refugees or immigrants that seem to be prepared to risk life and limb to get across the Mediterranean from Africa in the Middle East or wherever. It's an interesting one. I know there's also a very, very big anti-immigration movement across Europe too. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out over the coming months. But certainly the consensus across the Parliament seemed to be that we do need to give a hand out to these people and help them. And rightly so, I mean...
But the whole thing about that for me, to the extent, is that... If you do go that route, Britain does it much better than we do. I mean, there's no point in taking people in and, you know, semi-interring them, you know, hostels and
keep them
in abeyance for about 10 years or before you do anything about it.
I did put that to Brian Hayes and I said to him, look, we have people in this country living in direct provision for 10, 12 years. I mean, we need to get our house in order first. We can't be just saying, right, we'll take another 700 immigrants and then shipping them off to basically what's amounting to a concentration camp. And he did agree that, yeah, we need to get our house in order here first, you know. I mean, I think sometimes it's probably easy to stand up when you're in front of all that. We'll take loads of them, and then you bring them all over here and say, just shove them in the corner, forget about them.
Yes, yeah.
We can't have that either.
Well, I think Aidan O'Riordan is in charge of that now, and it seemingly, so far, it hasn't been much movement on it, but I think he might be a little more effective in the course of the time. Anything else over there? For instance, the talk of some of our reps when they go over there, like our non-entities, did you get that impression at all, that they're just sitting there and filling out numbers?
Not really. I mean, everybody gets to say that piece. As each debate goes on, the people have to put their name down as they want to have an input. I mean, on the Greek thing, we had... Martina Anderson from Derry, she made a very, very passionate, had a very passionate input on the Greece debate, hugely in support of Mr. Tsipras. Sean Kelly from Fine Gael, he was very much saying that they, or you know, the Irish government showed leadership when it was needed and helped to get our country out of a crisis that was similar to the one that Greece is facing now, and very proud of how we were led out of austerity.
At least you have a sense of humour there, yeah.
You know, it was interesting times. I have to say, in fairness, outside of the Parliament, I just happened to be sitting in a pub on the Wednesday evening, and Mr. Sean Kelly happened to walk in, and I thought maybe he sat at the bar on his own, and he ordered a plate of food, and he was having a beer, and I said, I should go over and say hello. I went over and said hello to him, and I didn't really want to be getting into
interviews.
He's knocked off and all of that, and I have to say, a very nice chat with the man. Absolute gentleman, lovely chat for an hour. We chatted about all kinds of stuff, and he did promise me if I ever go back that he'd sit down and he'd give me a proper interview. But that just goes to show you the different sides. Excuse me, the different sides sometimes. He was an absolute gentleman. It just happened that he came into the same bar I was in, and I said, should we shoot the breeze? And we had a lovely chat about all kinds of things. We talked about the Parliament, we talked about Greece, we talked about Ireland, we talked about the Gaelic, we talked about the Hurling. Just two blokes in the pub having a pint.
And did you learn lots yourself the running of things? And
it's absolutely,
was it different from the way you thought it would be before you went?
Well, I suppose I had no expectation, because you know, the only you see the House of the Dáil, or you see the House of Commons on the TV.
You mean it was half empty over there as well?
No, it certainly wasn't. Okay. It certainly wasn't for the Greece debate, I tell you. It was stuffed to the rafters, absolutely stuffed to the rafters. Absolutely fascinating. Just to sit and just watch it in progress. Mm-hmm. It was, even when they were doing the voting and all, and there's all these little ticks and nods and all going, as the Parliament's it's split into different groups, so to speak. You've got the extreme right, the far right, the centre right, then you have the centre, then you have the centre lefts, the lefts and the far lefts and the extreme lefts, and goes, but they're all split into their own little groups, and then when they're voting on different things, depending on what way the group was, they have people at the front, and the people at the front give the signal up or down, you know, and I'll tell you, it's theatre, it's absolute theatre. I recommend it to anyone if they ever get the chance to go. Okay. Just go and sit in it, it's fascinating.
Okay, that's a good reason to go to Strasbourg as well, then, as well as the transport
and the food
system.
And beer is very
And the food is great as well. Okay, so you'd be booking a holiday there in the near future for yourself and